You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
I'm Gilbert Gottfried, and I'm here with my co-host, Frank Santopadre, and this is Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.
Yes.
And we have with us today someone who has a new book out called Drag, Combing Through the Big Wigs of Show Business, Frank DeCaro.
Colossal Obsessions.
Yeah, you see? You gave him credit for saying DeCaro off mic.
I know.
None of that DeCaro shit. Had you guys known each other from the stand-up world?
No, but I was there the night that you did the Aristocrats joke. I was in the room because I was either on the dais for that one, not speaking, but sitting there.
Wow.
Because I was on The Daily Show in those days.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the Hugh Hefner roast.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. Yeah, one of those moments where you're like, I can't believe I was in the room for this. Yeah, so no. And I'd never heard that joke before.
Yeah.
So.
You had never heard the Aristocrats joke until the night you were in the room.
Who? I waited for the best. No one has ever taken the Italian out of the name Santopadre like you.
Yeah. There is not an art form.
There is not a whiff of garlic left in that name when you get done with it, Gilbert. I'll tell you. Not a bit.
That's hilarious.
So I'm going to say this is a whole book about famous people in drag.
In drag. It's true. And if I had known in time, I would have found you as Madeline and put you in there. But I made you a drag moment of the day on the internet. Yeah, well, so there you were.
You want to explain that?
Yeah, a bunch of times when, like, Leno would call me for those bits in the beginning. One time I was Queen Elizabeth. Another time
I
was...
don't have that.
Wait, first or second? Which one? The one with the high hairline?
I think so. No, the one...
The one now.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And I was... Who was that one who was married to Charles? Not Princess Di. Yeah. The guy, the one, not a very attractive woman.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Camilla Parker Bowles.
Yes, I was her on a show.
Wow,
I see that. I do. Now I'm sitting across from you, and I think that. When I would run into you downtown, I'd see you on the street. I didn't think
that.
Now
I see Una O'Connor when I look at Gilbert in drag.
I become a Far Side cartoon. I get the cat glasses, then I should have a beehive. I look like a woman from...
I was playing an Una O'Connor type on an episode of Saturday Night Live. I was doing an old English woman.
You were.
Perfect.
Okay, so there are more drag moments in Gilbert's career, Frank.
I'm going to find them and feature them.
Even we knew about. You see, now you found John Davidson in the
John
book.
John Davidson.
Who we just had here.
I know.
We talked about that very moment.
He was a killer Carol Channing impersonator, and he would get him with a hat pin.
Yeah.
As a transvestite is wont to do.
And my wife asked, how do you kill someone with a hat pin?
One good shot. Right in. Yeah, you have to do that. You hope that never happens.
We plugged the book when John was here.
Thank you.
You know, he tells the story about shaving his eyebrows ill-advisedly.
He did that. And he also tells the joke about where he didn't know which bathroom to use. Did he tell that bit?
Yes.
Oh, very funny.
Which he says Pat McCormick wrote for him.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So the book is doing well. It's an Amazon bestseller. It's already in second printing.
It is. It went into its second printing. It's been number one in its category for like 3.5 weeks.
Wonderful.
Now, I know the Three Stooges played women a bunch of times.
I'll get them soon, I think. I'll have to make drag moments of the day. I do like things like that. This whole book was based on my having to get a picture of Fred Gwynne as Herman Munster in drag.
Oh, jeez.
In the book. And it's in there.
Yes.
So it's,
I remember that episode.
Oh, just another pretty Pretty Face was the name of it, and yep. he was the best. And he gets hit by a bolt of lightning and turns into a cocktail waitress,
was
which,
that
your, as you do, as one
that
does.
Was your first exposure to, yeah, to
I was
drag a, as a
I
kid?
Was. I yeah. was like 3 years old.
Right.
And it was on The Munsters, which is either, this is either pathetic or good. It's still my favorite show.
Mm-hmm.
So The Munsters is my absolute favorite. And he gets hit. First, he's turned into Fred Gwynn without makeup, and they think it's horrible, so
oh,
they
yes.
fix him.
Yes.
And then they
Fred
hit him Gwynn. With a bolt of lightning, and he turns into a cocktail waitress.
Right.
And suddenly, he's got the little sausage
Who
curls.
Could forget
and,
it.
You know,
it's
and
in the book.
And he's Aunt Herman. And I think he's the first trans character on TV. I really do. And
wow.
so, but anyway, yeah, it was a pisser to find that photo. But that was kind of the impetus for this book, I think, was my needing to get that in there. You
so,
know?
So you really didn't set out to do this book. It was.
They came to me. That's why it's a hit. If it was up to me, I would have. Anything that's my idea, the three of us think is interesting, and that's the
fantastic.
End of it,
you know? I was showing Gilbert too, and
yes.
we'll get to that because we were talking off mic about Karloff in drag on a famous Girl from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes, I remember
the Mother
that one.
Muffin affair, and he's never revealed to be a drag person. It's a female role, and they're like
strange.
Three. You know, it's like you get Boris Karloff, Harvey Fierstein, Louis Anderson in Baskets. That's it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Louis
that's
Anderson.
Kind of your whole men playing women in a comedy. That's what you get.
Right.
So,
so it's still popular in pop culture. I mean,
drag,
it's still,
oh,
yeah,
my God. It's never been bigger than now.
Oh, yeah. And the person that used to crack me up all the time in drag, and that was Milton Berle.
He was the first drag superstar of television. Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. And I love that, you know, the drag queens, when you take, they ask you if you have a meaty tuck. That means how big.
I was going to ask you about that.
Your schwanstucker is and how big your tuck, you know, like, can you stick it in the back up your self, you know. Anyway, and but so Milton could go around twice would be my guess, you know. It'd be like use it as a shoulder pad from behind.
Yeah,
I think
I wrote it down. Yeah. Meaty tuck.
Yeah, he has the meatiest tuck in show business.
Yeah,
but that was the idea, and it's the same. Honestly, it's the same reason you're better looking than Milton Berle, obviously. But the idea is the same. Well, I don't know if you're better hung, but you're better looking. But it's that you get the guy who's the least likely to be wearing women's clothes. That's the Hollywood tradition. You go, you're going to play Madeline. You're going to play Queen Elizabeth. And you grab someone like you and you say, here, put the wig on. And that was the Hollywood tradition for the bulk.
Playing
you know,
it for laughs.
I mean, it's Abe Vigoda in a dress on Barney Miller.
Remember that one?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Was he no. a decoy? Was he?
Yeah, he was a mugging detail.
Mugging
detail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he did. And as you do, and he looks like every, I don't know about you, but he looks like every relative I have. He looks like a great neck widow when you put him. We all have Abe Vigoda in drag in our family photos.
Your book is educational because I didn't know this stuff about Uncle Milty, that he learned drag by sneaking into drag balls up
I
in Harlem.
I read that. Isn't that amazing?
That's fascinating.
They quoted him saying, my drag is too gay to be gay. I don't know what that means exactly. He didn't take it up.
Yeah, my drag is too gay to be gay. I wrote that down. I don't know what that means either.
I guess it's too gay, like, ha, 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 than to be gay, like...
And he did it for a long time.
He did it entire career. No one spent more time.
Into the 80s. There's a Donnie Gilbert Marie
episode. Gilbert Gottfried didn't spend that much time in a dress. Please. Nobody.
So talk a little bit about the history. Which I love. I love the fact that the book is a history book. It's a pop culture book. I mean, it goes back. Drag goes back to Shakespeare. Beyond that, to the ancient Greeks.
I did the typical thing, you know. I was like, I move through thousands of years of theatrical history in 200 words. Okay, it's like move it along. I was like, oh yeah, they did
you
it in Shakespeare.
Get to the good stuff.
They did it in Kabuki. They did it in Elizabeth. That you know, whatever. Ancient Greece. Boom. 1912. Let's start there, and I get to that really quick. So there was a drag performer, a female mimic named Julian Eltinge, who was given his own Broadway theater, which you can still see on 42nd Street. It's one of the multiplexes there, right near the Port Authority. And it was the Julian Eltinge Theater. In 1912, he had a magazine. He was like the Martha Stewart of drag.
Amazing.
Then. He was in movies. He was on the Toast of Broadway, and he was a drag performer. And if you said anything about his masculinity, he'd take you in the alley and beat you up. Or at least try.
Now, but theater in general, theater at one time was old men.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
no women allowed in
love.
Theater.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I talk a little bit about that. But honestly, I'm only interested in, I thought, I'm trying to get people interested in drag, but I thought, how far back can I go? Because I didn't want it to be academic in this book. I wanted it to be fun and pop
culture. But it is. It is fun. But there is some fun history. Can you confirm or deny that the term drag actually comes from performers dragging their petticoats?
I didn't even put that in. I thought, that doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make
to
sense.
Me. I was like, I'm not going to further that
sense.
Along.
I found that doing some extra research.
And dressed as a girl or something at the end, you know, and I was like, dressed as girl. I was like, I don't think that's true either.
But do tell us about someone we're interested in, Mae West. And about her play in, what was it, 27, that was too controversial for New York City?
She did a play called The Drag, and apparently they couldn't open it here because they were in the midst of a crackdown, so they played New Jersey. You know, as my mother used to say, come to New Jersey, all the gays are welcome there. That was my mother's line. And apparently, for Mae West, it was the same thing in the 20s. Yeah, so she had this play called The Drag. I love her because she's kind of like a drag queen, even though she was a lady.
Yeah.
We think.
Yeah. She also helped, this is some fun history in the book, a performer named Bert Savoy develop his persona. This is the guy that died.
He helped her become her,
He died a strange death, which I found fascinating too.
Yeah, apparently the story is, and this is why you shouldn't throw shade in a lightning storm, he went out, he heard thunder, and he said, that's enough out of you, Miss God, and got hit by lightning. How bad can my language be?
As salty
you can't
as you
be
like.
Cunty to God, okay? You really can't. Don't say a bad word to God because he'll smile. He's in charge of electricity.
That is a fascinating
What's your
death.
Language around me?
after that, that sitting there for your aristocrats.
You must have, I have never seen this movie, believe it or not. You must own 10 copies.
And that's
Myra Breckinridge.
I knew he was going there.
That's a good one. Yeah. But that's like a trans story. So that's not even, I don't know if that's even mentioned in here because Raquel Welch is supposed to, plays a woman or plays a trans woman.
Everything was lost in the translation from what Vidal wrote.
Yes, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Gore Vidal is mentioned though because this I loved because it's the kind of line you wish it was your own. There was this group in the 60s, late 60s, in San Francisco called the Cockettes. And they were bearded. He did a tight 10
he
for
did
him.
A tight
it was perfect.
10.
And it was
very
good.
Tight.
Yeah. Anyway, they were 1969. They're the toast of San Francisco. They're bearded drag queens covered in glitter, sometimes naked, usually on LSD, performing. They become the toast of it. And Rex Reed writes them up, of course, and other people do. And they get New York gets wind of it. They fly them to New York, and they bomb. They bomb. They're so weird. And Gore Vidal's line was, "Being untalented is not enough."
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
But yeah, and this will kill me. This is why I like the Cockettes. I mean, I don't get them, but I like it. They ask there's a documentary that's quite wonderful about them. They ask John Waters about the Cockettes, and he says they were the first like bearded LSD drag. He said that was new then. He said that would be new now.
New now.
And then they ask Holly Woodlawn, right, who's a drag or drag and trans performer, whichever stage of her career, Andy Warhol girl, you know, the whole thing. And they ask her to talk about them, and she gets a look on her face like, I don't know what to say about the Cockettes. If you can get Holly Woodlawn to be speechless about a drag troupe, you're really doing something.
Do you know Holly Woodlawn is, Gilbert?
Now that name sounds so familiar.
Do you know Lady Bunny? Do you know any of the performers that Frank highlights in this book?
Oh.
By the way, one of the things I like about the book is it's a tribute to these artists, to these people.
Oh, it's a love letter
to
these
folks.
Yeah,
it really is a love letter, kind of like our show. I want to ask about, too, some of the early, some of the great comedians we talked about, Uncle Milty. People like Wallace Beery, Fatty Arbuckle, Chaplin, even Laurel and Hardy.
They all had this, like, drag character.
Did you know this?
Sweetie the Swatter was like a series of short films. Abbott and Costello did drag in certain things. Laurel and Hardy. Well, the Laurel and Hardy
played each other's wives?
Yeah, they trafficked in that gay thing a lot, even though they weren't talking about that. They were, you know, it was like, oh, we're both in a bed together, where we love, you know, they played with that. But they would end up in drag. It's kind of like everybody who's anybody has put on a dress at some point, you know.
Sure.
Frank, you haven't. See, Gilbert and I have.
The night is young, my friend.
Yes.
Well, I grew up, you know, with Flip Wilson and Maude Frickert.
Yeah, but
and
Flip
all of these
was
people.
A big deal because it was always the how ugly do I look in drag? And then Flip Wilson shows up as Geraldine, and she's kind of sexy.
Yeah.
And she traffics in this sort of feminist character with she's got a boyfriend who'll be named Killer, and he will if you refresh. She kind of seduces people. She almost marries O.J. Simpson in one episode of the Flip Wilson show. That's the most hilarious thing to me. It's like, oh, and she flirts with Bill Cosby.
Yeah,
in another episode.
Right, sure.
Always good. She had a sex life, that one, I'll tell you. If she'd gone with it, yeah, she could have married O.J. and had sex with Bill Cosby.
What was always the case, every time a guy dresses as a woman on TV and movies, there's going to be a guy who's obsessed with the
falls in love with them.
He's just crazy about
always
it.
That's the trope. It's and you could Abe Vigoda, the storyline of Abe Vigoda on Barney Miller is he's on Mugging Detail and a guy offers him $20 for sex.
I'm thinking of Bob Hope and Casanova's Big Night, which is another one. Yeah,
but maybe kind of wasn't he dressed sort of as like a Josephine kind of character in that.
Or of course later.
Something, whatever.
Latter day Bob Hope when he would have the bazooms on
then
the Bob Hope
they
specials.
They were like the two creepiest looking makeup jobs ever were the Wayans brothers.
Oh, and what? And White Chicks?
Oh, that was a little weird.
Yeah.
Because you get white face and dress. It's if you do two things at once is a lot. You know, I mean, it's like pick one or the other.
And I mean, that. They look like characters out of like a horror film.
It was like the elevator door would open, it'd be all blood, and they'd be standing there. Yeah. It kind of looks like a little bit of that.
We will return to Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast after this.
Yeah. Speaking of horror films, let's just talk a little bit too. And again, the book is educational. About movies.
What book is that? Would it be Drag? Call Me to the Big Wigs of Show Business by Frank DiCaro. That
forward by Bruce Vilanch,
yes.
By the way.
Also, that thing you
friend
said.
Friend and
him
former
too.
Podcast. Yeah.
No.
Guest.
Yes, him too.
He is.
Yes.
He hides it really well.
Even better than I do. Yes,
I always thought he was a major cunt hound.
That's what he called Mario. We had Cantone. The first time we had Cantone in here, and he called him famous cunt hunter, Mario Cantone. I also learned that Chaplin and Stan Laurel did drag in British Music Hall,
I don't know if I knew that.
Yeah,
that's
great. Yeah, I did a little
they
a deep
just
extra
love
research.
It. You know, I mean, it's Hollywood. Everywhere loves a man in a dress.
Costello, Jerry Lewis. We were talking about Danny Kaye and Bing and White Christmas.
I think, the sisters number.
The
I was going to say, if you haven't played Carmen Miranda, you haven't really done anything, apparently, in show business.
Yeah.
It's like you need to be a man dressed as Carmen Miranda.
Sure. And when we had Jamie Farr here, who made a career.
His manager said that Jamie doesn't want to talk about dresses. Meanwhile, he showed up on The Cool Kids the other day, addressed in drag. Yes, yeah. I want him to do a panel. And his manager didn't seem to even want to get him the message. I was like, okay, thanks for nothing.
That's unfortunate. So,
it seemed weird. It seemed also for a while, every famous black comedian had the fat black woman character.
Oh, I got a call from a friend saying, you defended Norbit with Eddie Murphy. And I was like, I love that movie. I think Rasputia's wonderful. And he's like, how could you put that in a book? And I was like, I think it's funny.
Bless your heart, Frank.
Look, what do I it's, you know, it's like you got to go with your gut. And I think someone who's bikini bottom you can't see on a slide saying, I'm sliding, bitches, is funny. Sorry, that works for me.
I love the index in the back, too, because you covered every...
Oh, the drag dendum?
The drag dendum. I mean, you even had what was Harvey Korman's character where you had the giant...
Mother Marcus.
Oh, yes.
Mother Marcus. You didn't miss a trick.
Well, you know, there's that great moment where she slams the door because she didn't know he was going to look like that.
Right.
And they open it again and he's holding the nipples like, ow, you know. And that was his moment to crack Carol up, which was hard to do.
But it's interesting the different the ways drag was used in films. For cheap laughs.
It was the guy who, it was like one step, two step, fall on your heel. You know,
right.
The heel bends over. You can't walk in the shoes.
Oh, it's always that shit. Something like it hot.
Or, as you said, it's like there's always the guy who falls in love. They don't notice the hair, the man hands, the Adam's apple, nothing. They just, oh, baby, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. which is screwy to begin with. So there's that trope. Then there's the fractured personality thing, which
I
love.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
That's always good.
Like John Davidson.
John Davidson. Yeah, right. Oh, he's a good, you know, don't make me kill again. That kind of, you know, thing right. In the mirror while you're doing your makeup, right?
Michael Caine and Dress
Michael
to
Caine
Kill.
Michael Caine and Dress to Kill.
Sure.
And but there are TV examples that are hilarious. Okay. There's Jim Bailey, who was like the female impersonator.
Oh, sure.
Yes. Right? He was like Phyllis Diller on Here's Lucy.
Talented guy.
So he does a bit on Vegas where he's a Judy Garland impersonator and who's got a stalker, and basically he shoots himself so that it looks like someone's trying to get him and stuff. So he's a nut bar on that one. There's also
Ray Walston and
oh,
and
yeah.
Caprice.
Yeah. Isn't that the one where Doris Day pushes him to his death?
Yes.
Always nice.
One of the characters that Rod Steiger is.
It's in the book.
In No Way to Treat a Lady.
It's in the book.
Yes. It's in here.
Frank didn't miss anything.
Got it all in there. Yeah, I got as much as I could.
Yeah. We talk about that movie. A William Goldman script.
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
I've
read
very,
about
very
it.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do. There's part of me. See, that's the problem. It's like there's part of me that's fascinated. Even if like the portrayal is terrible. Even if it's like the worst thing you could say about a drag performer.
Right.
It is fascinating when you're like, oh, of course, she's out of her mind. She dresses as a woman.
Does Norman Bates count?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, psycho but drag is the best.
Have you ever seen a convincing case of a woman dressed up as a man?
Yeah, well, I do. Yeah, I think there. I think in the 70s, Lily Tomlin did Tommy Velour.
Oh, Tommy Velour.
With the chest wig. And it was disconcerting because none of us had ever seen a woman dressed as a man before with the chest hair, you know. And in those days, I mean, if she did a character and she had hair, that character had hair under her arms and it was a female character, we all went, you know. And but to see her with chest hair, and it's like, Lily Tomlin is a lounge lizard. So that was, and she did Purvis, this other character.
Sure.
As well. That was like, oh my God.
That Glenn Close movie. Was it Albert Nobbs?
Somebody Nobbs, yeah.
Yeah. That's she's pretty convincing.
Don Knobs. It was Don Knobs.
Knobs. The Incredible Mr. Limprest.
Of course, Boys Don't Cry.
So yeah, well, that's when it's a trans character, I stayed away from that because it's a drag role, yes, but it really is not a drag
right.
character
performance.
Yeah,
yeah. But speaking of Jim Bailey,
yes.
This I loved from he performed in drag in a primetime tribute to the Super Bowl.
Okay. I did not know about this at the time.
That's insanity.
I was 17, 18 when it was on. So, you know, you're doing fun things. You're not staying home watching. You hope you're not home watching TV. And if it was Super Bowl, I totally wouldn't watch it because I'm a faggot. Anyway, as you said before. Anyway, so, no, I was going to say that he did a primetime salute to the Super Bowl. That would have probably been like Friday night or Saturday night in advance of the Super Bowl on that Sunday. And he arrives in an open convertible, dressed as a Star is Born era Barbra Streisand, singing Don't Rain on My Parade, okay, for a Super Bowl special, and then performs in drag alongside Minnie Pearl in another number. What the fuck? It's like, that is, poor Alan Carr takes all that shit
Alan Carr.
Rob Lowe and Snow White.
Right.
I don't think they can polish the shoes of Jim Bailey as Barbra Streisand on a Super Bowl special. That is just fucked up. That is so weird.
Could you find that?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
It is on YouTube.
Oh my God, need to watch it.
I absolutely must find that.
We're trying to say, I tell people, and it's true, the reason I wrote this book was truly to get that picture of Fred Gwynne as Herman Munster in a dress. That's why I needed to see it.
It's great.
It couldn't be the one from the reunion show where they're waitresses. It had to be that for me. I had to get, so I got it in there. He did it again with Grandpa Munster.
Isn't there one where Eddie's a little girl?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
He also had a beard. Remember there was that one too?
Eddie has a wig and becomes a little girl at some point.
Well, yeah, but you don't see him in drag. It's actually a girl with his voice dubbed in.
God.
Thank God they didn't. He's got enough trouble.
Butch into drag.
It would have been not so Butch. Femme Patrick would have been the thing, actually. Wait, so anyway, the reason. So now we're trying to get, I want to turn the book into a 10-part documentary series about the history of drag. And I wanted to be really serious, not lighthearted, but not stupid, like journalistic and not frothy.
And you want Gilbert to narrate it?
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to be, now that his clip is going in, but it's all because I need to get that clip of the Super Bowl special back on television.
Oh, that's
it's like there's always that one thing. Like, why do I need to do this? That's why.
That's an admirable goal.
I hope.
I want to talk. These are some things that Gilbert will find interesting. We talked about Karloff in The Girl from U.N.C.L.E., a 1952 movie called Old Mother Riley Meets the Vampire.
Oh, yes.
With Lugosi.
Bela Lugosi
yeah.
and someone doing old lady drag. I kind of thought Maud Frickert was first, you know, but apparently lots of old lady drag characters that people would do.
Well, of course.
Particularly in Britain, too.
Well, of course, Carson took a Maud Frickert.
Oh, Aunt Blabby, yes.
Completely stole that from Jonathan Winters. Yeah. Completely.
Steal from the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a Jonathan Winters thing?
Please.
I was writing a story, as a journalist, I was writing a story years ago when that stupid Rocky and Bullwinkle movie came out, right? And they needed the stars, whoever, I don't even remember who it was, were not ready for me. So they were like, well, there's someone you could talk to. And they walked me to like the day player trailer. And they opened the door and it's Jonathan Winters sitting there. And we sat and talked for an hour, even though it was, we shot the shit for an hour with Jonathan. And it was just like.
How nice.
It was like, and they acted like we were babysitting each other.
That's nice.
And I was like, you just took me to the Pope of comedy and said you now have an audience by yourself for an hour. Oh my God, it was genius. It was really.
Show business offers rewards, sudden rewards, surprise rewards like that sometimes.
Well, it's true, but there's how many people would have been like, who are you? You know, I was dying, you know, and you're like, you'd have walked in, you'd have 50 things to ask. I was like, I could talk to you all day. I know exactly what I want to know.
Here's another one for you, Gilbert. Jackie Coogan and Sid Melton as cross-dressing cops.
Wow.
In the Beat Generation.
So Jackie Coogan looks worse in drag than I do, okay? And there are days if I don't get enough sleep, I look like Uncle Fester. I totally do. But it's like with him, it's like there, you look at him and it's like, well, at least I'm cuter than you, you know, in a dress. But yeah, no, it's this Beat movie. And it's weird because they're
was
like.
Was Sid Melton in drag?
Apparently.
Yeah, they were on a steak. It was one of those stakeouts. Yeah. And, you know, oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird, that's an obscure one, though. But anytime I found something weird like that, I was like, oh, let's
you
put it in.
You had to put it in. How about Paul Lynn doing drag in the Glass Bottom Boat?
Yes, of course. He's in there. He's got that. He's got like a red updo and this off the shoulder thing.
Gil, you want to see all these, definitely.
Yes.
Don't you?
The one I can never find footage of, when I was a kid, there was the version of Hollywood Squares called Storybook Square.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yes.
Anyway, Paul Lynde was, I think, the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, my God.
And he came out and he said, I love kids, but I can't bear them. You know, that was his big line. And but it was like, so he was in, he did drag as, you know, I think he did it as much as he wanted. He said, I'll come out with a purse if I want to. You know, there was all those interviews where he said, they remember that Playboy, where it was People Magazine, not either of those. People Magazine, he said, gay people killed Judy Garland. They're not going to kill me.
Wow.
Like, oh, he was the best.
Now,
yeah, Valanche has some great stories about him.
Yes.
That actress, was her name Linda Hunt?
Yes, from The Year of Living Dangerously.
She won an Oscar.
She's in there.
She was playing like a boy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was good. And then that wasn't indeed a drag role, but it was a male role, but she was really good in it. She won an award, so you have like a little Oscar or something.
You know, speaking of the old tropes, I always remember in the sitcoms what Gilbert's talking about, how somebody always falls in love.
Oh, instantly.
But I always like the gag where says, I'm not putting on a dress. And they would do the cut, or if it was like Agard.
They'd have that sound effect.
And suddenly the character would be in drag. I think Larry Storch is in drag at least one or two times in old F Troop episodes.
Oh, I have to find that. I have to say, you know, I didn't realize Bob Denver, Dobie Gillis, he's in drag.
Oh, sure.
Manny G. Krebs is in drag. And Gilligan is in drag. And he plays Mrs. Howell in one episode. It's a little weird. They would do anything. TV was more fun than.
On
really
the subject
was.
That, I'm going to ask you about a couple of podcast guests that we had.
Uh-oh.
Max Baer Jr.
Jethreen Bodine.
Hillbilly
She-Beast. It's like, was she the best? I tell you. Jethreen Bodine. So weird.
Jethreen. Michael McKean.
Okay. There's an episode of Lenny and Squiggy on Laverne and Shirley dress up as Lenore and Squendolyn.
A girl gang.
Yeah. And they're trying to infiltrate a girl gang. But it's Lenore and Squendolyn. And it ends with you here in the hallway. And it's like, I'm not that kind of girl. It's like because she's like, you really should tell these guys. And so one of the guys gets fresh.
And Klinger we talked about.
Cause Klinger's the best.
We had Jamie Farr on the show.
This is why you want to smack managers. You know, you just want to go.
Oh, they always get in our way.
Yeah. It's like, why are you? It's like, you want to say to them, you do realize that when the good Lord calls Jamie home, and I hope it's many, many years from now, he's going to be remembered as Max Klinger. There is nothing you can do about that. If he doesn't want to talk about me, you better own being an address, because that's all anybody's going to remember.
It ain't going to be the Gong Show.
No.
Yeah.
So, but it, and it's like, and I bet you, Jay, and you know, I don't think he would have done drag as Vicky Lawrence on The Cool Kids a few weeks back.
Right.
Had it, if he were so uncomfortable.
Well, we'll put in a call to Jamie.
Okay. I was going to say,
see if we can cut the ice.
Because he would have said no.
Darryl, let's call Jamie Farr for Frank and see what we can do. And I guess we had a couple of weeks ago, Robert Wagner.
Oh, yeah. Okay, how stupid is this? I'm late to the heart-to-heart saga, okay? I had never seen it when it was on then. I don't know what I was doing, but I wasn't watching at the time, but I was not watching it. Now I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband says to me it's because it's really simplistic.
Jim
and you
Colucci.
Can follow Jim Colucci, author of Golden Girls
Forever. Who's here? Yeah, our former guest.
Yes. But, it, you know, he always
our
teases
previous
me.
Previous guest, I should say.
Because he's... He basically says, because the plots are really simple and you can understand them. Because if it's convoluted, you tend to not know what the hell's going on. But yeah, there are a couple of episodes where there's drag. And Robert Wagner is in a spa episode where he's in drag. But the best one is Lionel Stander in drag.
Oh, no.
There's an episode called Murder is a Drag.
Oh.
And Lionel Stander... has to sneak out of this party or whatever it is, and he goes into a walk-in closet, and people are this hot young couple jumps into the bed in the master bedroom, and they're getting it on, and he's getting dressed, and he's like, "What the hell?" And he comes out in this floor-length blue thing with that voice, and he says, "I'm coming out of the closet," and he walks out of the room, and the two people in bed are like, "What the hell's going on?" And what I love about it, and I think it's because Mark Crowley, who wrote The Boys in the Band, mm-hmm. He was a executive or a producer there or whatever.
Oh, yes, he was.
So they're not going to do offensive gay jokes, and it ends up being better because what they end up doing is they play the whole thing where he comes in at the end, the little tag at the end, he goes, "Men, you can keep him." And he says, "Oh, sure. When he's had a few drinks, he wants to show me his diamond mines and the whole thing. Then he sobers up and I'm not cute enough for him." And he said, "You can keep him." And he gets, and so instead of it being, you know, something offensive, it's just him playing it out as if my whole life was going to be great. He was going to take me. And it's not like he was gay. You never sit there and,
of course,
but it was
not.
Just the straight guy doing the shtick of, yeah. I was going to be taken care of and have security. And now I got nothing. You
blacklisted,
know.
By the way, Lionel Stander.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
This is a case of a guy, the character loses his clothes and has to wear a dress to cover himself. And that was in a Rock Hudson movie where he like somehow loses his clothes and he's
just
walking down the street.
Just think about that for a moment. Okay, there we go.
Yeah, he's walking down the street in a dress and someone catches him and goes, "Boy, it's always the guys you least expect."
Yeah. About Rock.
Yeah.
That is so meta. That is so inside baseball. That is so, I love that. They would play, there were a lot of things. There's one where he talks about clipping recipes or something. And you're just like, my God, it's like right in plain sight they're playing with.
And then there was that movie where Cary Grant.
Oh, I was a male war bride.
Oh, a male war bride.
And they said, "Why are you wearing a dress?" And he goes, "All of a sudden, I started feeling gay."
It's a Howard Hawks movie.
I don't know, but that was really good. Yeah. That was real. I just think it's funny that, you know, you put him in a horsehair wig and he's still like, "Oh, Jesus, you're still handsome." It's like, oh, you know, some people just got it, you know.
Yeah, some people.
Cary Grant, even in a dress, you're like, still pretty handsome.
Yeah.
What about flattering portrayals or situations where they're not being played for cheap laughs, like John Lithgow in Garp?
Yeah, that's a trans character, though, so
right.
It's a little bit different. Yeah, there are moments where, and Louis Anderson is very, you know,
Louis Anderson,
doing
right.
wonderful, and that's a female role that he's playing, so that's good. Yeah,
even Antonio Fargas in Car Wash.
Yeah,
he's a sympathetic character.
He plays Lindy, right? So he's got a necklace, his sexy bitch, and he has the best line ever, and I quote it in the book. Drag, coming through the big wigs of show business, available now. Anyway, no, he says, somebody's like gay bashing him, and he says, "I am more man than you'll ever be and more woman than you'll ever get." And apparently, people who saw that on 42nd Street in 1970, whatever, that got huge applause. And it's not because it was a room full of gay people. It was because it was people on 42nd Street were glad that the guy, you know, the underdog is speaking to the bully. And so they liked it a lot. He's pretty good. He was Huggy Bear on Stars.
He's still around.
Yeah. He looks good too. But Lindy was his character in Car Wash. And he had the little hairnet and the sexy bitch necklace. So he was kind of now would call gender fluid. You know, because he's not really in drag, but he's a drag.
Did you find it fascinating a couple of years ago when Hoffman was talking about playing Dorothy Michaels in Tootsie? And by the way, you guys seen the new musical?
Oh, I saw it the other day. It was fantastic.
Written by our friend David Yazbek. That he brought himself to tears. Do you remember this? A couple of years ago, Hoffman was...
Oh, because he said that the kind of woman he was, he would never be attracted to.
Yeah.
He would never try to ask her out.
Yeah, they did an interview. I mean, there's a movie with a drag performance where there's a reason for it to exist. Because it's very much makes a point.
Yeah.
About a guy putting a dress on. It's there's plenty of laughs in the movie. But in putting on a dress is not simply played for laughs.
No, he's honestly becomes a better man by
becomes
having
a better human
become
being.
A woman. Yeah. I mean, there are people. I mean, now they had to update it, and they did a great job of it now. But yeah. That sort of whole
thing. And it was
thing,
challenging to update yeah. it, I'm sure.
Well, no, so there are people who are very upset by the notion that, you know, oh, it's a man. They're just the man in a dress to some people if you're not gay or a drag performer. But I just went to that and I thought, I think straight people should do drag too. I think it's good for you. It's like, go put on that dress. And Santino Fontana rocks.
Isn't he great?
So good in
you
it.
You see the Tootsie musical.
Yeah, you need to go. It's really good. It is the funniest book of a musical I've seen probably since Book of
Lots
Mormon.
Of laughs.
It's hilarious.
David did a great
what
job with
What was
the score.
One, I think it may have Amanda, what's her name? And it, what's that child act? From like the Disney kind of films. She plays, it's based on a Shakespearean
Andrea
play.
McArdle?
No.
Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes.
Thanks, Frankie.
And it was based on a Shakespearean play, but she plays like a girl disguised as a guy. You know, she's going to school.
And it's not... Oh,
wow.
I don't know which one.
Our listeners are screaming at their devices.
Oh,
I know just one of the guys... That was an 80s comedy. That was a teen comedy.
Yeah, she plays. She goes to the other school as a boy.
Tootsie,
yeah.
On Tootsie. Yeah. Tell us about the Flip Wilson thing too. He had a strange relationship with the character.
Yeah. Okay. So Flip, for people who don't know, Flip Wilson was the first African. I mean, there's some question about whether he was first or there was a summer replacement show. With Nat King Cole, but he's kind of the first guy to be African American and host his own variety show on network television, and it was a huge hit and held its own against All in the Family and other shows. Anyway, he had all these characters that he did, and the only one anyone really liked was Geraldine Jones, who was this drag character, and she was sassy and she wore poochie print dresses and she had catchphrases that we all use. What you see is what you get.
Okay.
The devil made me buy
sure.
this dress.
Devil made me do it. Yeah.
The devil made me do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he did this character and he ended up, there was a biography written and I think it was Gladys Knight who was with in some show he did later on.
Gladys Knight.
And she said that Flip ended up hating that character because she was on more covers than he was. I mean, she was on Jet, Ebony or Jet or whatever.
So his alter ego took over.
Yeah. And people, you know, even when they were winning the Emmys, Johnny Carson made fun of them and said, "You've done so much for the black man. You put him in a dress." So there was all that shame thrust upon him for playing this character. But he kind of made his peace by the end of his life. And he said, "She carried me longer than my mother did."
Wow.
Isn't that sweet?
That's strange. Oh. You just had a short life.
Yeah, he did.
Flip Wilson.
Well, you look at this book. Apparently, being in drag is a tough life. It's don't do it too often. Your days will be numbered, Gilbert. A lot of people for any number of reasons. I think, particularly among the performers who are more the fringe performers.
Sure.
There's 50, and it's not just like they got AIDS and died. It's like AIDS and murder sometimes.
Oh, it's a lot of tragedies.
You know,
a lot of
heart attack on it during a show or whatever. You know, and it's tough. You don't get to too many who are in their 80s. Although I did meet the Guinness World Record holder for the oldest still working drag queen, and he's either 87 or 89 now. And he's a war veteran, and his name is he goes by Darcel 15, and he's the toast of Portland. And his 60-some-year-old son bartends in his bar. And his granddaughter waits tables, and he's a big drag queen. And he's still married. He's got a wife, and
that's his career.
Now, do you believe guys who dress up in women's clothes all the time, who say that there's a difference between being a transvestite and being gay?
Yeah, oh, sure. A lot of transvestites apparently are heterosexual.
Yes, like Eddie
Izzard. Your people, not mine. No, yeah, they are. No, apparently they do. No, they. That's a thing. They guys like that, and they're into it. But I'm talking. I mean, this book is about showbiz drag.
Yeah, it's
you
about,
know, you got to
yeah.
be. It's got to be your work clothes for me. Otherwise, that's a whole other book.
You got to. So, you wrangled an interview with somebody we've been trying to get on this
who?
Show, Robert Morse, the great Robert Morse.
Wow,
congratulations!
He did an interview with him.
He came up to Sirius, and I interviewed him up there, and I saved the transcript, and that's how it ended up in this book. But he, the day it was published, my husband's in L.A., and he's
Jim Colucci.
Jim Colucci, Golden Girls Forever. And got to get that in. We've got to pay the rent.
Squeeze him in.
Get him in. Anyway, and he looks across, and there's Robert Morse having lunch at the deli that we go to all the time. And he's like, oh, my God, we have books in the car. We learned from Marcia Wallace, God rest her soul, you always keep your book in the car, 2-3 copies, just in case you run into somebody you need to give it to. So Jim said, it's pub day. It really was April 30th, the official pub date. And he went to the car and he got one and he came over. We had met him before. We apparently eat at all the same places. We're on the same lunch schedule as Robert Morris because we run into him all the time. And so Jim gave him a copy of the book and he said, could I take a picture holding it and you'll send it to Frank? And then he said, here, open to my page. And he opens to the page where he's playing there's a musical called Sugar that was the musical version of Some Like It Hot. And he played the Jack Lemmon part. And so there's a picture of him, and he's holding, it's really swell. He's holding open the book to his page and stuff. Yeah, I love him.
We're huge fans.
Much.
Well, we'll swap with you.
Okay.
We'll work on Jamie Farr if you call Robert Morse for us.
Good. We'll have to do it. He apparently, he said to Jim, he said, could I call Frank? I'm still waiting. But he said, could I call Frank and tell him how much I like the book? And I was like, no, yeah, you could do that. I do.
Last question. There was a Charles Pierce show. Charles Pierce is one of the artists in the
favorites.
As well as the other Charleses. The famous Charles Bush and Ludlam. There was a Charles Pierce show that featured Uncle Milty and Bea Arthur.
Okay. So 25 years ago,
imagine, Gilbert?
For the gays thing. Okay. This summer is Stonewall 50. Okay. 50th anniversary of the beginning of the gay rights movement. Big deal. We're all nuts. Okay. We're all thrilled. So we got our outfits picked out and everything. So anyway, that's coming up this year. 25 years ago, they did Stonewall 25. And one of the things that they did was it was called Charles Bush's Dressing Up. And it was a show at Town Hall. And Uncle Milty was in drag.
Did I have the wrong Charles?
Charles Pierce performed.
Oh, Charles Pierce.
So Bush hosted. Pierce performed. And Charles Pierce was besties with Bea Arthur. And so she was there. And I don't remember if she was on stage or in the audience. She must have come out for some reason. But Milton Berle did not want to leave. He was supposed to do like 5 minutes, and 25 minutes later, sent Charles Pierce out to get him.
I love it.
So he's dressed as Betty Davis, and he's going out there to get Milton Berle off the stage. Every drag queen of any import in New York was there that night. And even though I'm not because I'm a drag hag, number one, I went. And it was amazing. And I had interviewed Charles Pierce as well. Charles, do you know his work at all?
Not familiar,
okay.
You know.
Charles Pierce. They called him the funniest man in a girdle. That was what they used to say about him. He would do, he did Mae West, Tallulah Bankhead. He did a lot, but Mae West, Tallulah Bankhead, Betty Davis. Betty Davis was his masterwork, but he would do a bit where it was Betty Davis throwing shade, as the kids say, insulting Tallulah Bankhead and vice versa, just flipping the wig and going left to right with the microphone and doing the whole thing. He would do both characters back and forth. And it would be things like, I saw you in the doorway with the light behind you. You look like Orson Welles. And then the other one would turn and say, darling, it's either moisturizer or wood filler. And they would go back and forth and read horrible things. And so they would do all the shtick. But he was so great. And he would do really dirty Mae West jokes. And Marilyn Monroe, and she says, and in her voice, he would say, I was 8 before I was 7, you know, things like that. So it was like dirty material. He was so funny and so good. And he had a pretty good long career.
More people should know about these great performers.
Well, because all the kids think drag began with RuPaul's Drag Race season 1.
Of course.
And I was like, well, there's at least 100 years that you need to know about then. So that's why I did that.
And there's Divine, and there's other people,
yes.
and Dame Edna. And all these other people that deserve attention. Plugs, Frank, you're going to be signing.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You're doing DragCon, but I don't think we're going to get that one up in time because it's May 26th.
Next weekend, we're going to do DragCon.
Okay.
In L.A., we got we're going to do a signing at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove.
Great.
On June 4th, which is a big deal because they don't, unless you're a celebrity, they don't give you that space. For some reason, they were like, drag book? Yes. So we're doing that. And then I'm going to be at the Santa Monica Public Library with Pandora Box, which will be fun to drag queen, on the next day.
Gilbert, you work with Pandora Box.
She loves all the time. Very sweet. She's Miss Congeniality. She's very lovely, drag queen. And then I'm going to be in Palm Springs on the 15th. And then I'm coming to New York to do the Pride Week here is the last week of June, and it's a big, this year it's World Pride. It's a big deal for the gays, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Okay, and Frank DeCaro, yes. show.com.
Yes, I was going to say, but we are doing, so that's Barnes & Noble at Union Square on the 26th, and then I'm going to be at cast party, and I'm going to be, a bunch of littler things. That'll be fun. And my husband and I are two of the LGBTQ authors that we're going to walk in the parade with the Barnes & Noble people, and
wonderful.
Two of the 50. Congratulations. We're going to walk as a couple.
Jim is here. Jim did our show previously with his Golden Girls book, which you guys have to get. Is it okay to say you're working on a Love Boat book, or is that a secret? It's okay.
No, he's good.
He's nodding. He's working
make
on a
him,
Love Boat
make
book.
Make him finish it, for God's sake.
And I'm going to plug your other book, The Dead Celebrity Cookbook, which I own and love.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun. We got a nice thing. It's very exciting. It's nice to have a book that people are liking.
Congratulations. Let's hope for a third printing. And,
yes.
And I hope you realize your dream of getting that Super Bowl clip.
Oh, I want that
back on television.
I gotta get that thing out there. Oh, it's gonna drive me crazy if I don't. I want that back in prime time. You know when this is what a subversive gay needs. You know, you're sitting there going, what could I do to fuck around with the current administration? I could get a drag queen singing Don't Rain on My Parade back in prime time. That's what I can do. So that's my goal.
It would be a significant contribution. The very funny Frank DeCaro.
Yes.
I'm going to say it this time so you don't mangle it.
Drag coming through the big...
Combing through. You don't come through.
Combing
you
through.
You might come... Stop that, Gilbert. Put it away.
Oh, Lord.
Coming in.
A drag queen. He puts on the Madeline outfit and then takes it out.
We're gonna post pictures of
drag
Gilbert.
Coming all over the big drag queen.
Combing through the big wigs of show business, forward by our friend Bruce Valanche. You two are horrible.
Who has come all over many drag queens, I'm sure he has.
Oh, my God.
He, once in a while. It's a pride thing. We did it as a salute.
The dirtiest show we've ever done, and we had Mr. Skin here.
You'll tell me during the
break. We'll tell you. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Jim. We love you guys.
We love you guys, too.
It's been Gilbert and Frank's Amazing Colossal Obsessions.